Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. My goodness.
Hi, buddy.
What an ending between the Giants and the Washington football team. Oh, my goodness. Washington looks like they were going to blow it. Hopkins' field goal is wide right, but the Giants are called for offside. When you're lining up over the ball, you got to think, hey, you're going to be onside. Nope, 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 not happening. Offside on the re-kick.
Yeah.
Hopkins is true, and Washington wins this game 30-29. And my goodness, what a reversal of fortune for the Giants, who were celebrating. They had the game won, but as soon as the flag went down, you could see Giants players going, oh, man. Like, Taylor Heinicke was the guy pointing from the sideline,
yeah,
going, hey, offside. Hey, I saw it. Offside. Offside right there. It's like, wow, that's pretty good vision.
Good eye. Good
hey,
eye.
He's offside. He's offside.
Eagle eye from the sideline. Look, both teams deserve to be raked across the coals for the way they operated in the final 2.5 minutes or thereabouts of this game. Because you go back to the Giants' possession and the field goal that gave them the lead. 4 plays, 3 yards. 16 seconds off the clock. Now, not often are we going to utter the words, that's way too much time for Taylor Heinicke. But he's a National Football League starting quarterback. Two minutes to move the ball, what, 35 yards for a super toe effort is not an insurmountable thing when you've only got a 2-point lead. Okay? So, for the Giants, terrible play calling and clock management. Have already talked about the defensive substitutions and the ineptitude there before Dexter Lawrence. And this is where I do the quick, you know, parenthetical to this. Dexter Lawrence is already starting to get the abusive messages on Twitter and social media, just like Raheem Mostert did, you know, after incurring a season-ending injury. It's like, what the hell's wrong with you people? That's all I'm going to say. What the hell's wrong with you people? Guy made a mistake. Guy got
What's
anxious, tried to make a play, jumped it, bad, bad things. But in the end, both squads, after a fantastic game, did everything they could to lose it.
It was very difficult to see this game from both these teams because at least it was exciting, right? You have two teams that look, what are their ceilings for the season, right? The Giants is not very high. Washington, you're hoping maybe they can compete in the NFC East, right? Because clearly they're the second best team talent-wise behind the Cowboys. They have a better defense. They have some playmakers. Now they're figuring out their quarterback situation. So there's different things to look at with this. Boy, you know, they could have done this. They could have done this. But if you want to look at the positive side, right, deal with Washington first, is that Taylor Heinicke kind of has a little something about him.
A little swagger.
You know, like it's not quite Baker Mayfield-esque where, hey, every 5 seconds he wants to show you and tell you that, hey, I'm a walk-on member. I was a walk-on. Look what I'm doing. He's kind of backed off that a little bit, but he's got a little bit of that special it-ness to him, right? You remember last year in the playoff game against Tampa? I had a huge game. Right, Tampa, I mean, this is a Washington team that backed into the playoffs with a horrendous record, and he threw for 300 yards against them, and it was you know, closer than anybody thought.
Making plays with his legs, extending plays. Yeah, no, it was exciting.
He was that kind of guy. And then you look at last week, you know, coming in for Fitzpatrick after getting hurt. All right, still threw the ball okay and nearly pulled off the win. Here he is in his first regular season start for Washington, and he goes for 330, a couple of touchdowns. His quarterback rating is up over 100. He kind of has something here. You know, and the best news for Washington is that it's not like, well, they spent 8 weeks with Ryan Fitzpatrick and then they went to Heinicke and, boy, Heinicke was really good. No, I feel awful for Fitzpatrick getting hurt the way it is.
Well, but did you see what the rumor is?
Well, yeah, the rumor.
Come on, put it up there.
That's tough.
Well, we have to address it.
Yeah, well, I got to think that if he really got hurt at a water park the week before the regular season, it would have been more than just a guy calling into a radio show saying, you know, he got hurt at a water park. He's walking around limping, talking to people. I got to think that would be more than just one guy calling a radio show.
I really just thought we needed it for laughs. I don't want to dig too deep into it. Because once you get into an NFL game, all it takes is getting rocked one time by a 325-pound defensive tackle. And, you know, bad things are happening to your body.
How'd you get hurt? I didn't cross my legs on the big water flume, and boy, that water went right up, and it was not comfortable, man. I couldn't walk.
I hit the side, you know, like, you know, you get racked around a little bit on those things. Yeah, I hit the side, the plastic tube, a little too hard. But you know, just for folks that hadn't seen that one, that, you know, you got to add a little levity sometimes,
I got to think it's probably, what if it was just a guy in a beard that liked to pretend to be Fitzpatrick? Like the guy who walks around pretending to be Conor McGregor
or
taking pictures with everybody.
Paul Gasol back in the day here in Los Angeles, right?
Yeah. Well, that guy, you knew it wasn't Pau Gasol. He's like, hey, listen, I'm not Pau Gasol, but I'll dress like him and I look like him.
So yeah, but you know what? People are dumb.
Yeah,
so you probably got a lot of free drinks and meals along the way if he played it right.
How tall are you? I'm 6'4". Boy, you're tall, but isn't Pau Gasol taller? No. It's the camera angles that they use in the games that make me seem like I'm really tall. No, but Heinicke kind of has something there a little bit, and it's going to be really fun to see him go, because this is a guy that didn't get his chance till he was 27 years old, and you know Washington knows they think they have something with him because they didn't go out and get a quarterback in the offseason. They said, let's get Ryan Fitzpatrick. So let's get a guy just in case, and if it doesn't work out, we have a guy. Fitzpatrick wins the job, and clearly, you know, going through the offseason, like he's done this plenty of times. But Heinicke was pretty fun tonight. He was really accurate with the football. You know, there was no moment that seemed too big for him. And it's one of those where I could see the team taking on his personality. Like, hey, he's a success story, and we like to believe in success stories, and we believe in Taylor. We believe what he does. You know, we're in it for him. And I can see them taking on his kind of personality, and this is how they go forward. So in that, I can kind of see it's kind of like Baker. Hey, Mayfield came in and saying, hey, you know what? Let's take this league by storm, right? I'm great. You're great. We're all great. And the Browns are going, yeah. Why can't we all be great? And now they all think they're great. All right, now Baker Mayfield is great as we thought he was going to be. No, but he's still pretty bleeping good, and he's good enough to win with the Browns. But he's got that belief in the organization that they can be great, and look at what they've done. Like, you can't argue with their success the last year and a half. I kind of see that same thing here with Washington. Hey, we're going to get behind Taylor Heinicke, and now we can win a couple games here in a row because, you know, he's somebody that can't just make the plays now and again, but here's a pretty dynamic night from him. 330 through the air and a couple of touchdowns. This isn't just, hey, I'll run on 4th and 7 and put my head down and get the first down and everybody loves me because I gave up my body for the team. No, he's got a little bit of that with him, but he also has a little bit of dynamicness, and that was on display tonight. I'm telling you, man, he's got something. He's probably one of the most intriguing quarterbacks in the NFL that I really want to see how he does every week because he's that intriguing.
Well, and that's it, right? Make plays with your legs, extend plays, and open up opportunities down the field, right? Most defensive backs, it's a short containment period, right? Before you start getting a little bit of separation, especially now with the number of defensive holding calls you get, and interference gets into play a little bit more. So you can start getting that separation in space. Eventually, they'll get Curtis Samuel back, one of the offseason acquisitions. He's on short-term IR here, but you saw the big play from Ricky Seals-Jones going up and over Logan Thomas. They had a miscommunication earlier on a run, and it ended up with the McKissick touchdown. Yes, I know, fantasy owners, you're pissed because Gibson didn't get the ball there at the 3, but you've got a two-man run game, and you look at McKissick as a receiver out of the backfield, right? 80 catches a year ago. He'll be active in this. Now you can get more creative with your offense and give the credit, and this isn't my sycophantic Northwestern take, but with Jason Wright and company, Taylor Heinicke had suitors. But when it was all said and done, nobody wanted to go and give him a guaranteed second year. And the dollars and everything didn't match up. So he's under contract for a total of about $4.5 to $5 million through the end of the 2022 season. So you've got a guy now, it's kind of like the Jameis Winston contract in New Orleans. Now all of a sudden he becomes your guy, and you're not spending a lot at the quarterback position. We can talk about the Taysom Hill contract a whole other time. But for now, we'll stay in Washington. You paid Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's on IR. It's Taylor Heineke's team now. And this was a weird win, but succeed and proceed, as Calipari said. But you've got to be salivating if you're looking at it as a coordinator, going, all right, now I've got a guy that there's so much more we can bring to this offense. And Terry McLaurin finds a way to get open no matter what you do to him, which is fantastic, right? So you got, you know, boxing one on him, and he still finished with a 10-catch day.
I'll tell you, Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. All right, so there's your Washington part of it now, and here's the Giants part of it. Now, before we get positive, because this is just I'm on the other side of the big failure by the Giants in this game. Right, they get the Ray Bradbury interception. They get the James Bradbury interception.
See what I did to you?
Yeah, you did that.
Now, now we're going into fiction writing and science fiction and all of these things. You're watching Independence Day right now, aren't you?
Sorry, Mr. President. I'm sorry I'm late. Does anybody have a missile left? They get the interception. They have the ball at the 20-yard line. Over 2 minutes left to go. What do? They run Saquon Barkley twice for 3 yards. Then they throw the pass on third down that's incomplete. Now, if Daniel Jones throws a better pass, that's a first down. But he throws a bad pass behind the receiver, couldn't come down with it, so they kicked the field goal to go up 29-27.
Yeah, but ran a guy who was running in mud and falling.
Yes,
couldn't fall
exactly,
forward to
exactly,
save his soul.
Exactly.
So the third down play is bad,
right?
But the first two, down are inexcusable.
It was awful. No. Everything they did was awful. But what I'm saying is that, just take that with a grain of salt before I get into reason.
Oh, okay, good.
Is that if they do make that play, that's a first down and things go well for him. Like if Daniel Jones makes a better throw, that's a first down, and then they're bleeding all kinds of time off the clock and potentially the win for Washington gets way less. But you had the football at the 20-yard line and there's over 2 minutes left to go and Washington has all three timeouts. You're not going to bleed enough time off the clock to make it worthwhile that, hey, all right, if we go slow and try to take this time, that when Washington gets the ball back, they're not going to have any time left. There's 4 clock stoppages. You got 4 clock stoppages coming up. You have to be able to get aggressive to get the first down to keep the clock
say
going.
Say it, Herm. Say
and,
it.
Yeah, hello, you play to win the game.
Thank you.
And they didn't. You gave the ball to Saquon Barkley, who was not getting you a first down. He had his 140-yard run. Every other run by Saquon Barkley is for minus yardage. You know this if you're the Giants by now. Hey, he had his one big play. In fact, the Giants should just figure out when Saquon Barkley has his one run, take him to the game and don't use him anymore, because every other run is going to be for 0 yards or less. So you give the ball to a guy that you know is not getting you a first down. You needed to be more aggressive to get into the end zone, to force Washington to score a touchdown to beat you, because you weren't going to take time off the clock with what you were doing. Oh, we're going to run Barkley twice, then we throw it. That was awful. That was awful, awful clock management. And I know the first part of it is going to be, well, you need to take more time off the clock. No, you had to be more aggressive. You had to get in the end zone. Because the difference is, okay, if we try to do what we get in the end zone, we don't get it. Okay, Washington still has the ball with like a minute 45 left in a timeout. You know how easy that is for a team to get down the field in the NFL with a minute 45 left in a timeout or even no timeouts when you got to get into field goal range? That's pretty easy to do. Time is not really your enemy. If it's 25 seconds, then you know what? Now you really put the screws to him. But you needed to be way more aggressive to try to get in the end zone and make Washington score a touchdown to beat you. And that's the big failure by Joe Judge and Jason Garrett. I mean, that was horrendous play calling. It's like, do we really want to be aggressive? We don't know. We don't want to turn the football over. We don't want to make a mistake. We don't want to take a sack. But we got to try for the first down. They got caught in between when they needed to be aggressive, and that's why the Giants are 0-2.
Well, I think the extension of that is you just showed you don't believe in your guy to go move the ball. You took it out of his hands, and then on third down you had to pass. And was it a pinpoint precision pass? No. But it wasn't an awful throw. But you're looking at the past of Daniel Jones, just like it was on Twitter, saying here comes the turnover, here comes the fumble, .. insert whatever meme and joke you want here. As an organization, Joe Judge, Gettleman, the coordinators, everybody right there just said, we don't know that he's grown from where he is. And you took the ball away from him by giving it to a guy who had shown you time and time and in this game, he couldn't get it done. It's just inexcusable. Joe Judge has to answer for this in major ways. And I hope that the New York media isn't soft on him for a moral victory here. Because this is the game they should have finished. That sequence, again, 4 plays, 3 yards, 16 seconds, and 2 runs to Saquon Barkley. Just inexcusable.
Yeah, I mean, I don't worry about the 16 seconds because there, like I said, there was just too much.
There's
4 clock stoppages, right?
But it's still the point.
Timeouts, right? If Washington was like, hey, they have no timeouts, so okay, we know we got the 2-minute warning, and that's going to be it. So we're going to run Barkley. He'll take us down to the 2-minute warning. We'll run another play that'll take us down to like 1:20, and then we'll run a play. They use their final timeout, and then suddenly they got to get down in 1 minute, whatever it is. That's kind of how you do it. But they got caught in the middle, and they got caught like they were afraid. They were afraid to try to put the football in Daniel Jones's hand to go make plays to win this game. And how do you do that? How do you do that to your quarterback that you want to figure things out? You got to figure Daniel Jones out. You got to figure out moments like this. Like this season for the Giants, they're going to stink. The number one thing is Daniel Jones our guy? And there was a prime example to say, hey, let's find out if he's our guy. Let's let him throw the football. Because you know what? He had thrown the football pretty well tonight. And if we don't want to have him throw the football, you know what? Let's have him
then
run
he's
the football.
Not our,
why?
But then he's not our guy.
Because he's run the football well tonight. Exactly.
Right, but he's not our guy if we're not willing to put the ball in his hands to try to win a bleeping game.
I don't know why they wouldn't do that.
It was gutless. A gutless play calling sequence.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. I really don't get it. When a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings, and if the signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks. Even if you don't see a train, stop, because trains can't. Brought to you by NHTSA. Well, coming up next, we'll have more on this game, including why you cannot buy Saquon Barkley at all for the rest of his time with the Giants, or wherever else he winds up going his NFL career. We'll tell you why next, right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Hey, yo.
Can't wait to hear from Joe Judge following this Giants loss tonight to the Washington football team. So once he speaks, we will bring it to you here at Fox Sports Radio. Look, we spent the last few minutes talking about the horrendous play calling on the final possession for the Giants against Washington. They needed to be more aggressive. There were 4 clock stoppages that Washington had in their hand. They had 3 timeouts, the 2-minute warning. The Giants ran Saquon Barkley twice for 3 yards, because that's what Saquon Barkley does. And then they throw the ball at the end, and Daniel Jones throws behind Sterling Shepard, so they settle for a field goal, leaving all kinds of time on the clock for Washington, who didn't really have the best last 2-minute drive either.
No, they did a terrible job of play calling, too. They played with no urgency. It was clear they were playing for a field goal attempt, and that's playing to lose.
Right, but clearly, when you leave too much time on the clock and you don't know what you want to do offensively, that's not going to work out for you. The Giants needed to be more aggressive to try to get in the end zone and force Washington to score a touchdown to beat you. There's plenty of time. You're not going to take the time off the clock unless you're aggressive in getting first downs. You can't run, well, on first down we'll run, on second down we'll run, on third down we'll throw to try to get the first down. No, throw and try to get a first down. You get a first down, then they got to start using timeouts. But it's like we're really only going to try for a first down on one play. And that's never going to work. They tried for a first down on one play. All right, we put it all on this play, and you couldn't get 7 yards. It's not 3rd and 1. It was 3rd and 7, and you made a bad throw, and you couldn't get the first down, right? So this is really a horrendous play calling. Be aggressive. Force Washington to get in the end zone, because you know what? Washington wasn't getting in the end zone on that final drive. They weren't getting in there. They weren't going to be able to get all the way down the field and score. Now, hidden in this is another big issue for the Giants, and that's Saquon Barkley, okay? Saquon Barkley is just a guy. All right. The Giants still think Saquon Barkley is the greatest running back in the history of the world. And they had no choice but to take him number two overall in the draft because he's a generational talent. Saquon Barkley is a guy that is just as likely to run for 100 yards as he is to run for less than 50. In fact, he's more likely to rush for less than 50 yards than he is for 100 yards. He's injured and can't stay on. And all of his big games, take a look at the box scores. How many of them are littered with, here's one big long run, and then here's a bunch of runs where he doesn't gain any yards. That's every game for Saquon Barkley. And tonight's game was no different, right? Barkley tonight, 13 carries for 57 yards. He had a 41-yard run. He had one big play. That means, all right, his other 12 carries went for 16 yards. You can't win that way. Not when you decide we're going to make Saquon Barkley the centerpiece of our team. Why did you have to give him the ball twice on that final drive? Because Saquon Barkley's our guy. And we've spent so much time the last couple of years telling everybody that Saquon Barkley is great and he's going to be great. And he's great. He's great. He's great. He's great. Even though I look at him and I go, he's just okay. He doesn't know the value of a 2-yard carry. He doesn't know that I just got to go forward to get a couple of yards. No, I'm going to try to dance because I think I can get to the end zone on every play. He doesn't do that. He's just a guy. But the Giants still think he's great. And so they give him the ball twice and he doesn't do anything. He gets 2 carries for 3 yards because that's what Saquon Barkley does. The Giants, if they were smart, all right, at this point, you're 0-2. You know what kind of season you have coming up for you. You need to be Daniel Jones driven, right? At the top of the hour, we talked about how the Giants need to know about Daniel Jones this year, right? You got to find out about him. It's year 3 for him, and you got to know, is he our quarterback? Or when the season ends, are we calling the Packers going, so what do you think for Aaron Rodgers? Or are we calling Russell Wilson saying, hey, don't you and Sierra want to come live in New York? This is a big rumor a few years ago. Let's make it happen. The Giants have to know, right? So now if they're smart, it's Saquon Barkley, dude, you are completely the supporting character in this show because we have to find out about our quarterback. And that's what all teams need to do. And you know what? Daniel Jones tonight was really good for the most part, right? The guy threw for 250 and a touchdown. Mm-hmm. He ran for 95 yards and a touchdown. He had a longer run than Saquon Barkley did. He had a better night running the football than Saquon Barkley did. This is what he does well. It's almost like watching a smaller or a poor man's version of Josh Allen, right? Josh Allen clearly is a better quarterback than Daniel Jones, but you can see Jones with some of the similar traits that Josh Allen has. He can throw the football. He can throw it downfield pretty well. He's got pretty good vision. He does turn the football over too much, and he does fumble. I'm not saying he's a perfect quarterback, but he does some of the same things well. He also runs the football very well. When the Giants run those misdirection plays and he's able to get out in the open field, it takes teams by surprise. And if this is what you have to do, this is what you have to do. Because if Daniel Jones has games like this, I'll tell you what, you found your quarterback, man. You're telling Russell Wilson, dude, sorry, I got to go someplace else, man, because we got our guy. Because Daniel Jones runs for 80 yards a week and he throws for 250 and we're good. Now we got to put weapons around him. We got to make the offensive line better. We got to do some things, but we have our guy. If the Giants were smart, they turn this into a Daniel Jones-driven team and he becomes that way. And it kind of looked that way tonight a little bit, but you know, who knows how much of it was, well, Saquon Barkley still getting back into shape. We're still trying to get him back on the field. Maybe normally his 13 carries wouldn't be this, but I'll tell you, man, you got to give Saquon Barkley, this is kind of the workload he deserves, right? Because he's somebody that will hit a big play for you and then not do anything for you the rest of the way. And at this point, you know, when you're 3 years into the league, I don't care how injured you are, this is the kind of running back you are. This is what gave Reggie Bush so many problems when he came to the NFL. Why did it take so long for Reggie Bush to be a really good running back, right? He was always great catching the ball out of the backfield, but running the football was tough for him. Why? Because he thought, every time I get the ball, I can go the distance, right? I'm going to dance all the way around the line. I can burst right through, and suddenly I'm off to the races. Or if not, it's a 15-yard gain, and I can get chunk yardage. Can't do that in the NFL. And that's what Saquon Barkley tries to do. He tries to be able to dance at the line and try to wait and find the hole. You know what? The hole's not there. You know, like I said, know the value of a 2-yard carry, and Saquon Barkley does not know that. The Giants need to be Daniel Jones-driven the rest of the season because it will accomplish two things for them. It will let you know if he's the guy, and you will also win more football games as a result. That's why they need to do it.
What is it? I'll be there someday. I can go the distance. That Daniel Jones, they needed to put more confidence in him and show that he's their guy. Because right now, they're kind of in no man's land, right? The Barkley reliance on that sequence, suddenly, oh, we're going to fool them. We're going to suddenly get this big breakthrough run from Barkley at this point. Come on. You're better than that. Or you should be better than that. If you're an NFL coach, you should be better than that. And Daniel Jones, this is where you find out rubber meets the road as to whether he can be your guy. Be aggressive. Go to the play calling. Instead, you went to the guy that you had already decided was your guy back in the day when you drafted him, as you've chronicled many years, you know, when you were really excited when Sam Darnold fell into your lap until you weren't. You know, both.
Yeah,
it is what it is. But for Saquon Barkley, look, right now he's not the guy that he was. May he get there in a few weeks, right? Whatever physically is still going on. Right, because they were non-committal all during training camp and even coming into week one about what his workload was going to be. So there certainly couldn't have been a huge vote of confidence. I mean, you talk fantasy rankings, whatever else. Like, yeah, I've got to rank him as a mid-RB2 because they're going to force feed him. And you got that big run going, at least I got that 4 points. As long as he doesn't fumble twice, I'm feeling all right. I got something out of it. But beyond that, you got nothing. Right? You didn't find any type of consistency at all, and he only had 2 catches for 12 yards in the passing game, right? If he's not going to be able to run the ball, you got to hope that you can get some semblance of consistency with him in the passing game where you get a little bit of yak to make things interesting and stretch this field out a little bit. But as of now, not only is he struggling, you don't have another running back on that roster that you say, I'm confident I can give that guy 15 touches and he can produce. My apologies to the families of Devontae Booker, C.J. Board, and Elijah Penny. You do not have that person on your roster. So now you're going in, and it's got to be on Daniel Jones. And when you had the opportunity, you didn't put the ball in his hands. You didn't give him the opportunity to use the short passing game like so many teams have done, and we've chronicled through week one and then going back to last year, right? The number of teams that, all right, we're going to create bubble screens. We're going to create little opportunities, and it's as effective as a run. And if a guy gets a seam, all of a sudden he's off to the races. They didn't do any of that. They didn't get creative. Here, let's tuck it in his gut, and they're going to use timeouts. So it really doesn't do us any good. And that's exactly what happened. So just a poor clock management situation, but you've also now, if I'm Daniel Jones, after the game I've had, the fact that they didn't let me try to control and score after that opportunity came my way, that's just something with the coaches this week. I'd be very forceful if I were him. And I get it. He's not in the strongest position overall, right? One of those prove it year kind of things. But he sure as hell did it today. And then they took the ball out of his hands. Bad job by them.
And it was so, I don't want to say it was an awful way to play, but they played very timidly.
Well, sure.
Right? Like they kicked all the field goals in the second half. They didn't give anything, any little bit of razzle-dazzle, any little bit of, hey, you know what, let's go for it here.
You
got to
give them the old
two,
razzle-dazzle. You know that.
Give them the old flim-flam-folly, razzle-dazzle. You need to get a little bit of, hey, we're not just going to take what the defense gives us. Sometimes we got to go take what we want. And if Daniel Jones is in the midst of a 12-for-34 game where he's thrown for 157 and 3 picks, okay, maybe then you want to take what the defense gives you because clearly it's not his night. But he was rolling. He was rolling at least something where, hey, let's run a play where it's some kind of RPO where he keeps the ball and runs, because that was running really well. Like, you can't give it to him 20 times a game like the Ravens do, but there's a lot of things you can do. The guy's got a decently wide skill set, and to not even want to trust him, it doesn't make sense. You know, I'm glad I'm a Jets fan. Usually the Giants have all the answers. They have no answers now. The Jets have all. Let's draft a quarterback in Zach Wilson. What are we going to do? We are going to let him throw the bleeping football. 36 times week one. We can't protect him. Drop him back. But we can't protect him. He's gotten sacked 11 times in the first half. Keep throwing the football. Keep dropping back. Keep letting him throw. Let him throw deep. And that's what the Jets did. Look, they almost won the game. And well, Zach Wilson's that guy. The Giants, no. We're going to try to sneak out of here by just doing just enough offensive. I don't understand. And real, this is Joe Judge. This is Jason Garrett. And it's clearly on a lack of urgency and a lack of inventiveness and a lack of aggressiveness to try to win when you decide we don't want to rely on our best player, and that's Daniel Jones. Look, why do you have to give the ball twice to Saquon Barkley? I mean, give him the ball twice. The Washington's going, oh, thanks. We're just going to tackle him for 1 yard. He's going to think he's going to try to – we're just tackle him for 1 yard. Why do you have to give the ball to him twice? This is completely on the Giants, because had they played this game with just a little bit more bit of, hey, let's take what we want instead of backing off a bit, then you know what? They would have won this game.
I like that you got the name in there, because I've been going at Joe Judge hard. Yeah, there's Jason Garrett. Welcome back to primetime criticism here on Fox Sports Radio. It's been a minute since we've been able to blast a game plan and situation. How about running the option on that? I mean, you know, if you're going to sacrifice, because they've done it a couple of times, right? Ball fake to Saquon, and he got roughed up by a couple of players, and you had Daniel Jones come out the back door for, you know, 4 or 5 yard runs. It's the same thing here. It was just, and the discipline, going back to the substitution and tardiness on defense, 11 penalties for 81 yards, Jason. Total of 20 penalties in the game, 9 for 80 on the Washington side. Some egregiously bad called against both teams, but 11 accepted penalties for 81 yards. You got a team, you lack discipline, you lack focus, and in the critical moments of this game, you lacked intestinal fortitude and played soft.
Wow, look at you running the intestinal fortitude line. Nice.
Oh, you know what? We had to get at least one wrestling reference if we're going to go hard attacking like we're on the mic and doing a shoot interview. Had to do it.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. A thrilling victory for Washington over the Giants. Let's celebrate week one into week two of the NFL the only way and the best way that we know how.
And now, it's the Magic Johnson Twitter game.
Now we're talking.
Magic Johnson, like a fool about week one in the National Football League, the most vanilla and obvious tweeter in the world. So your job is to figure out if what I'm giving you is a Magic Johnson tweet or if it is made up by me, playing as Mike Harmon, Steve DeSager, Alex Teichert, Ryan Bershinger. You guys ready?
Let's go.
All right, that is a tweet. Absolutely.
Yes, here we go. Is it getting easier to win on the road in the NFL? It sure looks that way. Is that a Magic Johnson tweet?
No.
No.
Is it getting easier to win on the road in the NFL? It sure looks that way.
No, because then he would be taking a shot at one of the LA teams, and he can't do that in week one.
Ah, interesting. Okay. All right.
I'll say yes. It feels pretty terribly worded, so I'll say yes.
Wow. I mean, unless at the end he just...
Yeah. Ram it.
The old song.
Don't you? Well, it was redone by Elton John, Steve. Anyway, let's finish, Tysha. What do you got?
Wow. I'm going with Bursch. I'm going to say yes.
That is not a Magic Johnson tweet.
You blew it, Bursch. Sorry.
Raiders win over the Ravens. This is the best opening week in the NFL that I can remember.
Raiders
win over the Ravens.
Yeah, I could see that.
This is the best opening week in the NFL that I can remember.
I'll say yes.
How many periods did he use?
2 exclamation points at the end.
Yeah, it's him.
Okay.
I'll say no.
Oh, that is 100% a Magic Johnson tweet.
I knew it.
Stretch!
So many road team victories, so many upsets, so many great team and individual performances.
No.
Nah.
So many road team victories, so many upsets, so many great team and individual performances.
Is he writing a lead for a highlight show?
All right. You got two no's, Tyshirt?
I'll say yes just to see if I get everyone wrong. Let's go.
Yeah. Jay, you got to slow down here. I'm trying to scroll through his Twitter while you're reading these.
Cheater.
I'm going to go yes on this one.
That is a Magic Johnson.
How about that?
Sweet. How about that, huh?
Crazy.
Welcome back, Clayton Kershaw. Is that a Magic Johnson tweet? Yes. Welcome back, Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah, I think so.
Did he spell Clayton right?
Wow! Whoa! I'm just asking. That was angry.
Is the tweet spelled correctly, Jason?
Everything is spelled correctly.
So then, no, that is not a Magic Johnson
tweet. Wow. Wow, hater.
Tell me I'm right.
Welcome back, Clayton Kershaw.
Tell me I'm right.
Is not.
Let's go!
Wow!
Let's go!
Tweet. What a performance by John Gruden, Derek Carr, and the Raiders. They're still a Los Angeles team.
No.
No.
No. Yes.
That is not.
Whatever.
Johnson tweet. Coming up next, more big stuff out of the NFL.
Spell right.